I'm Chris Bruni. You're listening to The Morning Show on KPFA.
For approximately 10 years, there has been a Jewish-Palestinian dialogue going on here in Northern California, an effort to have people-to-people contact, to break down the barriers of misunderstanding and fear and anger and hatred. The events of the last 2 years in the Middle East have only maybe increase the barriers that separate all of us around these issues. So maybe a Jewish-Palestinian dialogue can somehow bring us forward from this position. We're joined on this telephone by Sausan Nadine Zarour. Sausan, good morning.
Good morning.
I gather your father was the founder, one of the founders of this dialogue, and he has since passed away. Do you want to tell us how it got started?
Well, there was two people, Len and Libby Trobman, who had been visiting, well, actually who've done years of their own kinds of peace work, and they started finding a fascination with the Middle East and have been looking for a group of people to start communicating with and dialoguing with, and luckily they walked into my uncle's grocery store, and they kept kind of talking to them and growing a friendship with them, and one day decided to have a group of my uncle's friends, who my father was, and themselves just to start talking. And this was, like you said, over 10 years ago, and they've been working actively and positively ever since, and it's been spreading throughout the whole Bay Area, actually nationwide now.
And essentially bringing together Jewish Americans and Palestinian Americans.
Yes, yes. Right.
And I should say, you're with the Ramallah Club in San Francisco, correct?
Yes. I'm currently the vice president of the Ramallah Club, and it's something that I love to bring forth into the group because I believe that that a lot of people don't know about our existence, here, especially here in the Bay Area. And there's a huge population of Christian Ramallah community in San Francisco, and they're very educated and loving people, and it's time that we started understanding what it's like for Jews to come into this country and feel the way we feel. We want to start communicating with them to understand each other in hopes to break those barriers.
With me in the studio is Adine Horn. Adine is a teacher at Lincoln High School in San Francisco, and she specifically is a peer resource teacher, and she's been working with Jewish-Palestinian Dialogue. Adine, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Sausan.
Hi.
So, Adine, explain what a peer resource teacher is.
Peer Resources is a program throughout the city of San Francisco, and there's a coordinator such as myself and many of the high school and middle schools. We work with the students within the school to then be resources to their peers. We work with them in areas of conflict management, peer education, peer mentoring, peer counseling, all kinds of youth helping other youth.
And you've specifically done dialogues and peer counseling across the divide between Jewish Americans and Palestinian Americans.
Yeah, within my school. Last year at Lincoln High School, there was some conflict between Jewish and Palestinian youth, which I helped do the conflict mediation between the students, and it helped me as an individual. I'm Israeli Jewish American. It helped me see the challenges I had in looking at issues around Israel-Palestine between Jews and Palestinians. For years, I've done liberation work and anti-racism work here in the Bay Area and didn't realize how thick the blinders were on within my own eyes around issues between Jews and Palestinians, between Israelis and Palestinians. And it was through the teaching of my students, really, and the relationships I developed with them that led me to sitting in this room with you today.
Mm-hmm. And also with us is Emily Kaplan. Emily is Israeli-American. She moved to first Canada and then the U.S. from Israel. Emily, when you were 9 years old?
When I was eight.
8 years old. And so you are a freshman at Lincoln?
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to be a sophomore in the fall? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll call you a sophomore. Okay. Yeah. And you got some very sad news recently. One of your friends back in Israel was the victim of a suicide bombing, right?
Yeah. This was during Passover in Israel, and there was a bombing in a restaurant, and they were all having dinner, and she was killed, and her mom was paralyzed, and her dad's in the hospital. So, yeah, it was hard. And I came to Dee with the sad news, and because that's what she does. She comforts us. And I came to her with the sad news, and she told me that as I came in, the two Palestinian girls who came in earlier to talk about their, was it problems or?
Their experience. They're from the movie Promises.
Yeah.
They were here in this country.
So, yeah.
So, Sausan, given the Ramallah Club and the many connections in the Bay Area with Ramallah, people might not know that a relatively high proportion of the Palestinians in the Bay Area are from Ramallah, correct?
Yes.
And, of course, there's been loss of life throughout the occupied territories among Palestinians as well.
Of course.
So, no doubt, you share with Emily news of friends or family who have been injured or killed in this whole horrible series of events.
Every day we hear stories about people from our family who are being killed, raped, murdered. A lot of stories about how they're being occupied in their homes and in their camps, and how they're afraid to go to school. And the reality is something I don't think anybody in America could fathom. It's a deep kind of fear and pain that we live with every day here in the Bay Area, just thinking about our people not being able to wake up every day and have this kind of opportunity that we have here. It's really just the most terrible thing that I think anyone can fathom of what's happening back home to our people.
So, Dee, how can you promote dialogue when the pain on both sides is just so overpowering?
I think that part of that pain that you're speaking of is huge amounts of fear and huge amounts of anger within all of our people. And I can speak for myself, becoming part of dialogue work, beginning relationships with Palestinian people has allowed me to let go of a lot of that fear. You can't be enemy with someone who you have a relationship with. And as we do the dialogue work together, there's a lot of comfort. There's certainly disagreement, but there's also a lot of support between us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more and more convinced that the only solution is peace for both of our people, for both Israel and Palestine. It's just not going to happen one without the other. I know Sausan and I, through the dialogue work, have developed a friendship together. The first time I'd ever been in a Palestinian home was in her mother's home, in her home around the dialogue work. And what a huge difference that's made in my life to work with Palestinians to promote peace for all of our people.
Yeah.
Emily, can you get past the pain and the grief to make friends with Palestinian students?
I think the difference between being American Israeli and being Israeli is the fact that me, for example, I can open my eyes and be friends with a Palestinian. And I think the way I've been raised and brought up, my parents have always been open-minded about me having Palestinian friends and overcoming grievances. Like, I've been growing up with this. All my life I lived in Israel, and all my life this violence has been going on, this war has been going on, it's an ongoing thing, and I've been dealing with it, and yet, yes, I do have Palestinian friends, and it's hard just to see them wearing their
the kafia,
and just to know, like, you know, my one of my best friends just died because of that, but yet, on the other hand, I have to look at it as in, it's just because they're wearing a kafia does not mean they're bad, it does not mean they're evil, it's a country, it's a state of mind that you have to be in to.
And Emily shared stories with me about growing up within Israel, and maybe you can share the story about your friend that's Palestinian.
While I was growing up, I had a Palestinian friend, and her parents were really, they didn't like Jews, they didn't like Israelis, they're against Jews in Israel. And so me and her, every time we'd go over to each other's houses, I'd have to hide in her room till her parents leave the house so her parents don't know I'm there, or and vice versa, except my parents, they knew I was friends with her, and we couldn't tell her parents or anything, and so we had to hide away from their parents and stuff just to be friends.
This reminds me of just how emotional all of this is, and I've found myself getting into almost spontaneous arguments that mm-hmm. were just almost vicious with not necessarily friends but acquaintances that it was amazing how fast it escalated from a difference of opinion to being actually hostile. Someone said something like Arafat is a terrorist, and I said Sharon is a terrorist, and we went back and forth, and of course it went nowhere except each of us got louder and louder and louder and more furious.
Exactly, and there's a lot of, it's easy to do name calling, and it's easy to yell and scream because that anger is so real, and it's really hard to listen. It's really hard for me to be on the phone and listen to the fear that Israelis have of Palestinians, because Palestinians have the same fear of Israelis. And it's hard to listen to Israelis, you know, thinking that we're terrorists when really, you know, we're the ones being oppressed. And bombing ourselves is a huge cry for having no hope at all. And to actually sit down and listen and open your mind and open your heart to try to find a different solution than yelling and screaming at each other, to progress ourselves into finding a reasonable way that both Israelis and Palestinians can live in the same place and love each other like those two girls that you just mentioned that became friends but had to hide it, because underneath all this pain and aggression, there's a lot of love.
Well, there's also history, and there is a feeling of entitlement, and when there are possibly mutually exclusive senses of entitlement, trying to compromise is difficult. Is entitlement the right word, Andy?
I think that both people has a claim to the area, has a legitimate claim. Both of our peoples have been the victim. Both of our peoples have been in various forms of power throughout history in the area. And while you can't ignore the history, because that's a big part of what's going on, I think we need to take a strong stance from where we are in the present and learn to live together, learn to listen to each other, to listen to each other's stories, to listen to each other's pain, to bear witness, to choose life, to choose peace for all of us. I think that within the media, there's such a divide, and it becomes this versus that. I see that in the mainstream media as well as in the alternative media. I think what's radical is showing that dialogue happens. It's bringing people together to create a whole new paradigm of looking at the conflict within the Middle East. That is what's going to bring a just and a lasting peace to the area for Israelis and Palestinians. And in that kind of peace can all of us, you know, heal from the past and create new ways of living into the future that perhaps we can't even imagine today because we're so caught up in a legitimate pain of the past.
It is 25 minutes after 8. We're talking about Jewish-Palestinian dialogue, and in the next minute or so, we'll give out a website or a phone number so that you can get connected if you are interested. So get out your pencils. Again, on the phone is Sason Nadine Zarour, who is vice president of the Ramallah Club in San Francisco, and her father, one of the founders of this dialogue. Adi Horn in the studio is a peer resource teacher at Lincoln High School, and Emily Kaplan is a sophomore, soon to be sophomore, at Lincoln High School. We hoped to be joined by another student at Lincoln, Samia Hussein, but we were unable to reach her as she's out of town. So in any case, maybe I'll ask you the same question, Sason. The notion of entitlement, both sides making a claim that they are entitled to this land, and obviously a compromise has to be reached in which maybe half a loaf for each is going to have to be agreed to.
Exactly, and maybe half a loaf to each, which has to be agreed to, as well as the freedom and the rights for both sides, and that Palestinians are not feeling like they are being bombarded by, or living in refugee camps and not having the freedom to walk to school, not having different claims and soldiers on their borders, and now they're building a wall in between us, and that's another form of separation. And I think in order for Palestinians to feel like they are getting the rights is so that they know they have the opportunity and the freedom to continue on living their lives and grow further as a people. Their lives are being stopped. They can't continue to work on a daily basis. Like I said, go to school and feel free to have any hope or opportunity. And what the Palestinians need is hope, hope that they can live freely and realistically with the Israelis and Israelis to find that they can live as neighbors to Palestinians, which seems so surreal at this moment, especially here right now. But I think as Palestinian Americans and as Israeli Americans here in the Bay Area, we can start showing an example of communicating with each other, of having that hope, so that way it hopefully can be a contagious kind of a disease and spread.
Emily, you wanted to ask Sussan a question.
What do you think a solution to this whole big ordeal is?
Like I said, I would never be able to fathom such a solution because it's I think it's over and above our heads. But like I said, if we can continue on here with what we know and with who we are, to dialogue with each other and communicate and spread this kind of friendship and of understanding and educate ourselves to understand that our fears are shared and our imprisonments are shared, then hopefully it could reach a higher level, but I couldn't even begin to grasp how.
Sussan, how can people get in touch with the dialogues, and are these like regular meetings where people come together, or how does it work?
It works on a monthly basis and in different cities. There is a website, Adi.
Yeah, I have it right here.
Okay, it's I believe it's the Living Room Dialogue Group.
Well, what I have is an email address for the Traubmans. It's Len and Libby Traubman. And the address is L Traubman, TRAUBMAN, at igc.org. And I have the web address as www.igc.org/Traubman. And if you contact them, anyone out there, they can help guide you into creating dialogue groups.
Which happens on a monthly basis, once a month for a few hours. And it's very intimate. They like to keep the groups at a good number so that way we can all have a chance to speak and get to know each other. And the groups stay and try to have an equal amount of both Palestinians and Israelis and Jews. It's hard to spread this kind of word to other people, especially when there's so much pain. And it's hard to think that you want to preach, too, because you feel and share that pain.
So let me just give the information again one more time. It's www.igc.org/Traubman, T-R-A-U-B-M-A-N, or the email address is ltraubman@igc.org.
I also want to jump in real quick and say that in August, there is a new camp that's happening here in the Bay Area called the Peace Generation Camp. It's bringing Bay Area Jewish and Palestinian youth together for a week camp experience, conflict mediation.
And can people get more information?
And if you email the Traubmans, they can forward that information on.
Well, I thank each of you very much. Sussan Nadine Zarur.
Yes. Sussan Nadim Zarur. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
And Adi Horn
thank
and
you.
Emily Kaplan.
Thank you.